the book of John, chapter 5. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate you come to worship the Lord with us today. Amen. The book of John is an amazing gospel. The first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are synoptic gospels. They tell the life of Jesus in a story form, and one incident follows the other. John is the last gospel to be written. John perhaps had been serving the Lord for some 60, 70 years by now. When you have had time to think about something for 60 years, and you've been preaching for 60 years, and you've been walking with the Lord and seeing God do marvelous works for 60 years, it would do a little to you. Get ready to write your story. The others were written much earlier. So John has had time to reflect, to think all of these things through. So that's why his gospel is different. He takes an incident like we'll see here today, and from that he will then give us a marvelous facet of the life and the identity of Jesus Christ. And so let's look at this here today, shall we? From the 5th chapter and the 42nd verse, he said, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Isn't that sad? He said to these people, he said, "I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But ye believe not his writings. How shall you believe my words?" I want to preach for the next few moments about this subject, revelation and rejection. Revelation and rejection. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. This incident starts off in my magnificent way. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. How interesting, how like him, that he doesn't go to the where most people would think he would go. He didn't go to see the sights like most people would do when they come to an exciting city such as Jerusalem. But where Jesus goes is he goes down to the pool of Bethesda, which is a pool of human suffering and great human need. You want to find God, look where there's need. You want to find God, look where there's suffering. You want to find God, look where somebody has need of him. That's where he's going to manifest himself. He's not going to be in some stuffy sanctuary. He's not going to be among self-righteous. But he's going to be seeking that which is lost, is what the Bible said. So Jesus is at the pool of Bethesda. And Pool of Bethesda, the word means house of mercy. And there was a large pool there. And the Bible said everybody that was sick or lame would come down there, because at a certain time of the year the waters would become troubled. And their experience was that if somebody could get in the water, the first one in would get healed. That was the reputation of the pool. And so Jesus was there, and he would see all these sick people. And I don't know how he came to this particular man. I don't know if somebody pointed him out or what happened. But But he came to this man. The Bible said he had been there for 38 years. Everybody say 38 years. Anybody here 38 years old? That's how long he laid there. And if you're not 38, he laid there longer than you've been alive. That's a lot of laying. 38 years. You talk about habit. You talk about digging a hole and pulling it in after you. He'd been there 38 years. And Jesus walks over to the man and he said to him, he said, would you like to be made whole? And you think, my, what a silly question. Jesus knows the human heart. There are people that are so attached to problems that they don't want. I've watched people come to an altar and pray, and then before they leave, they would gather up their troubles and take them with them out the door. Isn't that right? Shake your head like this. Yeah, Brother Grissom here. That's true. But you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to bring your troubles and leave them here. He wants you to bring your sins and leave them here. He doesn't want you to take it up when you leave. Leave it here. Amen. And but this man, he was deep in the situation. So the Lord says, do you want to be made whole? And what did he say? What would you have said? I hope I would have said, yes! Please! But you know what this man said? He said, sir, I don't have anybody to help me. Do you know how he got there for 38 years? Hello? Somebody carried him. What do you mean you don't have anybody to help you? Woo! Getting close to home here now. Huh? You ever heard that one? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Dripping with self-pity. I don't have anybody to help me. I've been getting here 38 years. Somebody's been carrying me and bringing me food and washing my clothes and washing my bed and bringing me my stuff for 38 years, but I don't have anybody to help me. God have mercy. Talk about blind. I know he was lame, but he was blind. If you key that, well, that was his excuse. Why nobody to help me? Well, you know why some people don't want to get healed? Because they don't want a job. Hey, it's pretty nice and having somebody feed you and do everything for you, and you have no responsibility to take care of yourself. So he said, I don't have anybody to help me. But Jesus, he took all that away. He said, right. Take up your bed and walk. And man, he jumped up and he started walking. And reached down, he rolled up his bed, threw it over his shoulder. And my, what a miracle that was. You would have thought everybody would have been excited. Wouldn't we get excited if that happened? If somebody carried somebody in here and said, this man has not walked in 38 years. And we got to praying for him, and the Lord reached down and healed that person. You talk about excited. We'd be so excited. We'd want to tell everybody in Athens, Texas, what happened here. We'd want to put it on the internet. Amen. We'd want everybody. But that wasn't what happened there. He started walking, and as soon as he started walking, some old fellows come up to him and said, hey, what do you think you're doing? And he's excited. I'm walking. It's been 38 years. I'm walking. And they said, you can't be carrying that bed. said, don't you realize this is the Sabbath day? If you're going to get healed, you've got to pick another day to do that. Lord forbid something good ought to happen on the Sabbath. A little sarcasm there, but anyway. So he's carrying it here. And they stopped it. I said, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. And the guy immediately, he said, well, it's not my fault. He said, I was laying in the same old pit I've been laying in for 38 years. And this man walks up and ruins my day. He comes up and says, rise, take up your bed and walk. And I just, being the good fellow I am, I just obey. It's not my fault. I didn't do this. Well, that's not what he said, but that's what he meant. And they said, who is this man? He said, I don't really know. And then he goes on to the temple, and after a while, Jesus comes in the temple, and he finds this fella, and he sees there's trouble coming. And he says, sir, he said, you be careful. He said, don't you sin anymore, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, one thing some people cannot abide is being told that they're a sinner. And he couldn't handle that. So immediately, the Bible said he went to those men that had accused all people to go to. Why in the world would he go to some people that had been accusing him instead of to his healer? But he sought the low counsel user rather than to give praise to the healer. He got so accustomed to complaining. Any complainers here? Don't raise your hand. You know that God almost destroyed Israel because of one thing, complaining. God does not like complainers. Now that's for some of you, but that's truth. So quit complaining. Hey man, this is fun, isn't it? Y'all having fun? Dodging. What's coming next? So here's this guy, and he goes, and what he does, he goes to these accusers, and he said, oh, I found him. He said, his name is Jesus. And immediately they hunted him down. Now, this was they got into another league when they confronted him. You want to argue? You got your work cut out for you. Because I promise you, he will not tuck tail and run. He will evermore stand his ground. And so they came at Jesus and with their nation and with their threats. The Bible said they actually sought to kill him just because he healed somebody on the Sabbath day. That's all he did. This man was known for not being able to walk for 38 years, but they couldn't see the miracle because they were blinded by their own authority. Amen. Some people like to control everything, and if you do anything a little bit different, they just can't handle it. So they, the Bible says, literally, they sought to kill. Amen. And so when they did, Jesus then, he just starts talking to them. Amen. He doesn't pass the buck. He said, well, it's my Father told me to do that. He did in a certain way, but he didn't blame him. So immediately the Lord then, listen to what he says here. Verse number 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. It's on the Sabbath day. He said, well, what do you think God's doing today? Huh? Did the sun rise this morning? Is the breeze still blowing? Are you still breathing? God's working. Is the universe still in order? God's working. Hey, amen. Is the tide still coming in, going out? God's working. He said, my Father's working. And he said, because he's working, it's a Sabbath day, he's working, I'm working too. Woo! Boy, they didn't like that, did they? They didn't have an answer for that one. Hey, I don't know what to say. Well, you know what they got mad about next? They were mad because it was a Sabbath day and he told somebody bed on the Sabbath day. And then the next thing he said, he started claiming equality with God. And they sure couldn't handle that. So then the next verse, it says, and being therefore the Jews sought to more kill him. They wanted to kill him some more. I don't know about how you do that, but that's what they wanted to do. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Well, do you know who they claimed their Father was? Yeah, God. But he's doing it on a different level. He actually proves it. He don't just say it. He's acting it. Amen. And then the Lord begins to give some revelations. Let me hit these revelations real quickly here. First of all, he reveals that judgment belongs to him. Verse 22, he said, for the Father judgeth no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. That all honor the Son, even as the honor of the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. When we get to heaven and we stand before the throne, who's going to be sitting on the throne? Jesus Christ. Amen. God manifest in the flesh. That's who's going to be sitting on the throne. Amen. And let me just, for the sake of explanation, see if I can make this clear. There's just one God. Father and Son are not two separate gods. They're just one God. Just one God. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible never talks about God the Son. It's not in there. It talks about the Son of God, but never God the Son or God the Son. Men came up with those titles. God never did. The Bible never did. Amen. So who is Jesus Christ? He's God. Almighty God. The one and only true God. Manifest in human flesh. He's God with skin on. That's who Jesus is. And so here he is, and he's in judgments given to the Son, meaning God manifest in flesh. Now, who can better understand humanity than God that has lived life in a human form? Who can better understand what I feel than a man that walked in flesh for 33 years? Who can better understand temptation that was tempted for 33 years? God understands me because he lived in a human body just like mine. And from that human body and that human experience, he will judge us. So judgment is given to him. Revelation. And then verse number 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that means truthfully, truthfully, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Amen. I passed a life today, Brother Hunt. Amen. I'm not a dead man living in a living body. Amen. But I'm a living body. Because when the body dies, I'll live on. Yes, I'll live on. Through eternity, I'll live on. That's what we used to sing that song. Anybody remember that? I'll live on. Amen. I used to think they were singing Olive Oil, but that wasn't it. They were singing I'll Live On. Some of you did too, didn't you? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Aren't you glad you heard that voice? Amen. I was dead in sins and trespasses. To Jesus say that I could live. And so I repented of my sins. And he filled me with his life-giving Holy Ghost. Amen. I was baptized in his name and washed my sins away. And so today I live. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself. Amen. Jesus did something that nobody else can do. He said this. He said, destroy this body and in 3 days it up. I can say that. You can too. Do it. But on the third day, he did it. Hallelujah. They went down to find his body, and it was not there because the tomb was empty. And the angel said, he's alive, and he's alive forevermore. Amen. He had life in himself. Praise the Lord. I have life. It's not from myself. It is from him. He is my life force today. And without him is no life. That's a revelation. Then he said this, verse number 30. A revelation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that hath sent me. Amen. So he revealed his flesh. He said, I can't do anything. But it's that spirit that's in me that empowers me to do all things. Amen. Verse number 36, he said, but I have a greater witness than that of John. Talking about John the Baptist. For the works, everybody say the works. The works which the Father hath given me to finish, and the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father is with me. And those works, nobody else went around healing folks that had been in bed for 38 years like that. Nobody else turned water to wine. Nobody else took 5 biscuits and 2 sardines and fed 20,000 people. Nobody else could speak to the wind and say, peace, be still. And it would lay on his feet like a puppy dog. Yeah. Nobody else. The dead back to life. Amen. He's in the works, the works, the works, the works. The works that you see me do, they witness of who I am. That's a revelation, isn't it? Amen. He said, but I have a greater witness than that of John. The works. And then verse 39, he said, search the scriptures. Everybody say the scriptures. The scriptures, he said, they testify of me. You want to know who I am? Amen. He said, this right here tells you who I am. You've been reading this, you're dead. You teach this in your synagogues every Sabbath day. You teach your children this from the Word of God. He said, this testifies, this tells you who I am. Revelation, revelation, revelation. I'm trying to tell you who I am. But they couldn't get it. You know why? Because they rejected it. They rejected it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to know it. I read about a lady one time years ago. She used to read the Bible, and she'd come across a verse that she didn't like, and she'd slam her Bible closed, and she'd say, little known, little required. Too late, you know it now, honey. Amen. Responsible, at least for the minimum. Amen. So I think we need to know what we're responsible for. And so he said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. And without the love of God, you can't love the things of God. You can't really love the Word of God. I said, you cannot love the Word of God. You can learn the Word of God. You can use the Word of God. You can abuse the Word of God. But if you don't have a love for the Word of God, and you don't have the love of God in you, then you'll not be able to love the Word of God. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name, you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. And they did. And they have. And they do. How can you believe? Give honor one of another. Seek not the honor that comes from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you of the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Amen. So he's speaking to people that rejected him. He revealed himself to them in every way he could, and they rejected him. Amen. You know one thing that characterizes people that are against God? people that reject God is hatred and bitterness, because the love of God is not in them. If the love of God is in you, you won't hate anybody. Let me say that again. If the love of God is in you, you won't hate anybody. You may hate some things that they do. You may hate some things that they say, but you won't hate them. Not if the love of God is in you. This is where people miss the whole picture. They're accusing Chick-fil-A of being a hateful organization because they're against gay marriages. How hateful they... No. You got it all wrong. We do hate the sin of homosexuality, as the Bible does. But we love the people. We love the people. Amen. I hate all sin. I hate what it does to people, because it destroys people. And if you have the love of God in you, you're going to hate sin too, because you'll see what it is. But you'll love the person. You'll love the individual. Amen. And so he said, the love of God's not in you. It's just not there, because they rejected him. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time, your attention here today. Amen. This all started out with a great miracle. And how can something so good and so pure and so worthy wind up so ugly? How could that happen? How could something so marvelous as a man that had worn himself a pit in the ground after wallowing in the same spot for 38 years and miraculously healed, and how could that turn into something so ugly? Rejection. If the Mayo Clinic had done it, it would have been a great thing. If ETMC had done it, it would have been a great thing. If some doctor had done it, it would have been called miraculous. But Jesus did it. Amen. He didn't give him a pill, didn't give him a shot, didn't do at least a normal surgery. He didn't have some fancy technique that he toured the world teaching other doctors. He just said, rise. Take up your bed. Walk. And faith strengthened the man. The word of God made him whole. Amen. But listen today, we've got to be careful not to reject what we hear from the word of the Lord. I have always believed, and the Bible teaches, that we have received the Spirit of truth. And if you have the Spirit of truth, when you hear truth, it will bear witness to the Spirit of truth. And when you hear something that is untrue, it will clash with the Spirit of truth. Thank God for the truth today. And thank God for the Holy Ghost that will lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So today, you hear truth and you trust the Spirit of God to reveal truth. But here's the thing. When He speaks, listen. And when He calls you, respond. Amen. Don't reject it. Don't squelch the voice of the Lord or the wooings of His Holy Spirit. But listen and respond to God. Amen. I think it would be good if we'd listen to the Lord right now. Amen. Jesus, I I always want to hear you and respond to you and follow you. I know that your life, I know that you have the power of resurrection. I know that you're God manifest in flesh. I know that you died, but you rose again. And I know that you're coming back to receive me and to take me to a place that you have prepared. I know these things. I believe these things. I trust these things. Amen. I know that right now you have the power of life. And you can call somebody in this building that's living a life that is leading them to death. And you can deliver them from that death and give them life, even in this service this morning. Amen. You can turn everything around. Anybody here on the wrong road and you want to get on the right road? Anybody here willing to follow the voice of truth? I open this altar this morning, invite you to come. Amen. Respond to the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Ghost.